Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. On this week's book review, our reads take us to 1940s Paris to meet the city's women surviving under Nazi occupation, post-World War II Britain for a love triangle shrouded in mystery, and we become entangled in a web of friendships in an upcoming thriller. My guest today is Amanda Craig, literary critic and author. Amanda, welcome to the show. Let's begin by detangling the aforementioned web. The Deviance is the latest novel by British writer C.J. Skews, which on the surface appears to be a teenage drama as we meet friends Max, Ella, Corey, Fallon and Zane. But around halfway through, the book turns into something a lot darker. Mm-hmm. Amanda, how does the story unfold?
It unfolds in a very clever way because it's not at all what you expect. You begin with this young couple who've been basically dating but not having sex since they were 12, living in a small seaside town, which I think is basically Weston-super-Mare. You think it's just going to be about a teen romance between, you know, older age school children. But it's not. It's about some incredibly dark things, not wanting to give too much away, but it includes a teenage pregnancy and truly terrible sexual abuse. And it's all wrapped up in the voice of this narrator, and there are many twists to this, who is very funny and defiant and incredibly angry. She's a champion runner in training. She's known as Volcano Girl. And the volcano is not just her speed, it's her fury. And you eventually realise why she is so angry. It's a very striking and original novel, which really shows up a debate that's been going on actually this week about why YA fiction is really worth reading.
That's young adult fiction.
Young adult fiction, yes. There was a very ill-advised piece by someone called, appropriately, I think it was Dave or Joe Nutt, in the TES, which the Today programme took up, and he was saying that YA fiction was absolutely dreadful and children should only be reading classics. And this is actually, in a subtle way, very literary. This is an extremely clever woman. She wrote a hilarious comedy called Dead Romantic, in which two girls create, a la Frankenstein, their ideal boyfriend. This is very, very dark, but it draws on things as varied as Dickens's Great Expectations and Enid Blyton's Famous Five. And the Famous Five, in this case, are these five rebels in this small town who were once the greatest of friends, and a tragedy happened. One of the six got killed, and you discover these very dark undercurrents that have been taking place and which cause terrible tragedy by the end.
I mean, you mentioned something really interesting there about genre, about the idea that, you know, this is intelligent young adult fiction. But do you think that, you know, do you think Skews here is playing around with genre a bit? I mean, it starts off in a very familiar mode. It feels like a teenage novel. And then it does switch and it does then take on the sort of, I guess, the elements of a different type of genre.
Yes, I think modern writers, particularly contemporary writers, are very used to playing with genre. And when you are addressing a teenage audience, which now is so sophisticated, so used to all kinds of different genres in film and television series, that, of course, it's natural to do this in fiction too. Interestingly, Weston-super-Mare was, of course, the scene of Banksy's absolutely wonderful satire on Disney, Dismaland, last year. And I think something of this spirit has got into this book, you know, this mixture of the slightly tacky, the obvious, but it's not obvious at all, and the truly dark and tragic. I really recommend this. It's very gripping. And the voice of this girl, Ella, as she's revealing but not revealing what's really going on is extremely original.
The Deviance by C.J. Skews is out on September 22nd, published by Myra Inc. In our second novel, The New Mrs. Clifton by Elizabeth Buchan, we travel back to the end of World War II, where intelligence officer Gus Clifton has arrived back home to surprise his sisters in London. Suffice to say, not everyone is happy about this surprise, Amanda. Why don't you take us through what happens from there?
Well, Gus, who was a former barrister and, you know, a gent, has been working in Germany as an interrogation officer of Nazis and former Nazis. And he comes back with a German wife called Christa, who is, of course, greeted in respectable Clapham with absolute horror. I'm just about old enough to remember that even as a generation later, anyone who was German or spoke with a German accent was really shunned and treated as a pariah. And of course, hot on the heels of this terrible war, it's even worse. And Gus has two sisters, one of whom has been widowed as a pilot by a Nazi, and he's chucked his former fiancé. So it's just the most extraordinary decision. Nobody can understand why he's done it, but there are very good reasons why he's done it, which Elizabeth Buchan slowly reveals. I should say that this novel begins as a kind of thriller because we know that 30 years later, another young couple are going to discover the skeleton of a young woman that's been buried in the garden. So all the way through, we're wondering if this is a kind of version of Rebecca, if Krista's actually going to be murdered by the three women who have every reason to loathe her. And so it's very suspenseful and it's very well written. Buchan, I think, is one of these women novelists who has been really rather overlooked, I think, because she's a woman novelist. But she's very much in the category, I would say, of people like Elizabeth Jane Howard. She's writing about the upper middle classes, and which she clearly knows very well. But she does it with such sensitivity and gentleness and humanity that I think anybody could read this and be very moved by it. Moved not least because these people have been very privileged, and now all they can think of is food. There's an absolutely wonderful scene in which one of the snotty sisters-in-law is eventually seduced by a man she's only just met. And she's seduced by food. You know, it's quite, you know, she just lies there thinking of all these wonderful meals that she can now get. And things like that are very delicately done. But again, in this book, the domestic is underpinned by terribly horrible things that have happened. Anyone who's read Anthony Beevor's Stalingrad might have an inkling of why Christa is so incredibly frail and why she's haunted by terrible dreams. But the revelations, when they come, are completely shocking.
Well, you mentioned there, obviously, how well Buchan draws these characters in this society. How well does she set the scene of, you know, a London post-war? Because I guess it's a time that we're all kind of familiar with from films and plenty of books. So how does she bring it, her own kind of take on it?
Well, she does it through all these very good little details about what it must have been like, because she's not of this generation, to be, I suppose you would say, a housewife in that time, just how much rationing there still was, how much suspicion. I mean, very early on in the book, Christa goes out on Clapham Common and some kids start to stone her because they hear her German accent. So it's these little details of, you know, greyness and misery and also quite a lot of nastiness, you know, that the people have hung on and hung on together and they've won the war, but they haven't really won the moral war within themselves. And Christa, of course, being German, is probably rather better at knowing how to make a house into a home than a lot of her in-laws, which doesn't make matters easier for them either. But I think Elizabeth Buchan is the most wonderful writer. I think she's been really undersold. She's well worth reading, and she's been given the first decent cover I think I've ever seen on one of her books, of a woman sitting on the top story of a bombed out house. She's, you know, she focuses on this couple and their marriage, which burgeons in very unexpected ways so well. I mean, what a nightmare situation. I think it's a situation that many people who've been refugees or the children of refugees will find strongly sympathetic.
The New Mrs. Clifton by Elizabeth Buchan is out now, published by Michael Joseph. For our final book today, we're switching to non-fiction, but in a similar time period as we head to Paris to discover the women who lived there during the 1940s Nazi regime. The book is called Les Parisiennes, and it's by journalist and biographer Anne Seber. Amanda, what is Seber trying to uncover about women in Paris during this time period?
Well, she's doing something which is long overdue, which is really the women's story of what it was like to live through these terrible times. It's something that has recently become perhaps increasingly fashionable, I think perhaps ever since the publication and rediscovery of the great novelist Irène Némirovsky with her Suite Française. But also some novelists like Jane Thin with her Clara Vine novels about Nazi women. The women's story in war is always overlooked, but it's just as terrible, if not worse, for those who are left behind to, you know, look after children, to keep houses going, to perhaps run businesses. And in the case of Les Parisiennes, these were French women who didn't even have the vote. Many of them didn't even have bank accounts or education. And yet these remarkable women kept not just, you know, a lot of the resistance going, but themselves. And there's a splendid story right at the beginning where describing this sort of rather indomitable spirit and how chic, how they still managed to be chic, not just by doing things like drawing a fake seam down the back of their legs to pretend they still had stockings, but there's a story about a woman in Ravensbrück, the ghastly concentration camp to which I think it was 10,000 of French women were sent. And there's this woman who was given the daily allowance of 1 ounce of fat each day. And instead of eating it, you know, she was skeletally thin and covered in scars. She massaged it into her hands to keep them looking better than they would otherwise. And that's such a Parisienne thing to do, that defiance and that love of appearance that just sort of triumphed over all this miserable greyness and oppression. And this is the most wonderful book. It's something that you could read every night in small doses because it's packed with stories of women, both wonderful women and awful ones, aristocrats, concierge, prostitutes, actresses. They're all in here.
And we should mention that Seber tracked down some of these women and actually interviewed them for the book.
Yes, yes. There's masses of original research here. There's, you know, the stories that you find, not just from diaries and ration books and things, but actual interviews are completely riveting. And what she's doing, in a way, is she's making us think how we ourselves perhaps might behave, which is always the most interesting kind of history book. She's going from the general and the way that businesses, like there were 20,000 women who made their living from Parisian couture, were kept employed by this spirit that at all costs the Parisians would not give in, they would not give up, to these very, very sad and nasty stories, of course, of women who, in return for food, were desperate to get German soldiers into bed, or who went over wholly to the Nazi side. There was a particularly nasty woman called Hélène Desportes who was egging on the government to collaborate with the Nazis, and it's terribly satisfying because she leaves Paris with trunks and trunks and trunks in her car, and she's blinded by a hat box that falls across her windscreen and dies. You know, it's one of the few great moments in this. But you cannot read this, and particularly, you know, we are also appalled by what's happened in Paris recently, without admiring the spirit of the French, both the tremendous pragmatism with which many of them traded their virtue for advantage or food, and the real courage that they had. You know, when countesses found themselves in Ravensbrück with prostitutes, they did not turn their noses at them. They tried to educate them. They drew together. They tried to encourage each other to stay alive. It's very, very moving, this book. I mean, it's got everything: humor, bravery, tragedy, and wonderful stories.
Les Parisiennes by Anne Seba is out now, published by St. Martin's Press. And that, I'm afraid, brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Amanda Craig. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. My producer was Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for our film review. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks very much for tuning in.